It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks to a recent listener suggestion, Jim from Winnebago County, who wants us to explore the work of the Northwoods Advocacy Group, Wisconsin's Green Fire.
There are work groups with experts on climate change, wildlife issues like wolves, PFAS, fisheries, water.
Thank you so much, Jim. Your questions or comments are welcome at any point. Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Fred Clark is Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire. Fred, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's good to be here with you.
Good morning. So your organization's priorities in coming years include climate change, sustainable farming, biodiversity, contaminants like toxic chemicals, PFAS. Which of these priorities requires the most urgent attention?
Oh, so such a great question. And we do, as an organization, have a broad set of priorities. They're all important. I think two of the issues that we are paying most attention right now are around these contaminants of emerging concern, which is most importantly or most currently PFAS that most of your listeners are probably familiar with. But we're also very much focused on the climate crisis and how in Wisconsin we can both prepare for climate change and its impacts and also do our part to reduce emissions that will ultimately help moderate and reduce the impacts of global climate change.
Take us more deeply into that work on climate change. What role does Wisconsin's Green Fire hope to fulfill in addressing the climate crisis?
Yeah, great question. So we're primarily a conservation organization, and our members include both concerned citizens and conservation professionals across Wisconsin who bring a wide breadth of experience and diverse backgrounds to support our work. A lot of our focus in the climate change issue is around land and land management. Specifically, how do our agricultural lands and our forest lands and the conservation lands in the state, such as wetlands and grasslands and parks, how do those all contribute to a more resilient climate future? But also those lands play an important role and can play an important role in actually offsetting our other emissions from transportation and energy and all the other places that we burn fossil fuels. So the what we call the natural climate solutions is the whole suite of activities.
Oh, Fred, you cut out there. Are you still with us? I think we're having some technical difficulties. Fred Clark is the executive director.
That we can be doing to both protect our lands.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, can you hear me, Kate?
You're cutting in and out. Now it sounds like there was a bit of technical issue there. I can hear you now. Can you carry on there on climate change?
Sure. I'm sorry about that. Our focus with climate change is really the contribution of our natural and working lands, our farms, our forests, our grasslands and prairies and wetlands, how we make sure that those important resources can be resilient to climate impacts, such as floods or fires, but also how they can offset fossil fuel emissions that are contributing to global warming.
When you look at Wisconsin lands, where are our vulnerabilities right now? Where are our shortcomings? And then what are we doing well?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, if you look at what experience many Wisconsin communities have had with climate change in the last 15 years, it's been flooding. And the impacts on roads and infrastructure and public safety and flooding is extreme, and those are huge risks to our flood-prone communities. And especially our lands that are not in conservation cover. It may be lands that are in annual agriculture that are not using no-till or that are not applying good conservation practices. Those are some of the lands that can contribute the most to runoff and flooding, as are our urban environments. When we have too much hard surface, too much pavement, not enough retention, not enough places where water can actually be collected and stored in the landscape. Those are vulnerabilities that we can address through better planning and better practices. What are we doing well? I think a lot of communities now are recognizing the importance of natural lands and acquiring wetlands to store floodwaters. I think we're also doing a reasonably good job with much of our forest management, because our forests are really important resources, both for creating that resilient landscape as well as contributing to our economy and storing carbon, which is a really important role in the overall picture of climate change.
We are learning about the priorities of Rhinelander-based environmental advocacy organization Wisconsin's Green Fire. Fred Clark, the organization's executive director. You can join in with your questions and your concerns at 800-642-1234. Fred, your organization is part of the Department of Natural Resources Green Tier Charter for Climate Action that came together, announced this year. And the charter aims to help members collaborate on projects that improve climate resiliency and equity in their own communities. How has this charter affected your organization's work?
Well, the Green Tier Charter, Climate Charter, is one of just several collaborative efforts that we're involved in. To try to advance voluntary practices around climate change. And specifically, the DNR's Green Tier Charter seeks to engage especially businesses and manufacturers and retail businesses who want to make a commitment to reduce their climate footprint. So ultimately, what we want to see there is more and more businesses and industries recognizing the opportunity to move their operations to net zero emissions, to reduce their own emissions by evaluating all of their processes and practices, and in many cases also to, where necessary, to offset those emissions through other activities. It might include carbon offsets, it might include investments in other practices, but ultimately, every business entity in the state has an opportunity to support the interests of our customers by looking at their operations, reducing climate input wherever we can.
I'm trying to understand, is this Green Tier Charter like, related to like a bottom line commitment from the business? Is it a collaboration effort? Is it a working group? Like, what is it?
Yeah, the charter is really an invitation to businesses and communities throughout the state who want to voluntarily agree to evaluate the carbon and climate impacts of their particular operation and take steps to reduce those impacts. The charter is not a mandatory or regulatory program. It's a voluntary program. And as consumers' interest and demand for companies to take these steps to ultimately reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, we think that it's an attractive proposition that we would really hope to see grow as more businesses see that opportunity.
As you look at the relationship with the DNR, there's been controversy in the past about the conduct of the Natural Resources board member, Fred Prain. This led to two of the state's leading conservation organizations calling for a limitation for terms on the Natural Resources Board. What is Wisconsin Green Fire's relationship like with the DNR?
Well, we work closely with Wisconsin DNR staff on a large number of issues, including PFAS contamination, including agricultural conservation, including fish and wildlife issues. So I think the relationship is good, and we respect the professional commitment and the hard work and the talent that so many staff within the Department of Natural Resources bring to public service. We're an independent organization, however, and we'll support the agency when it's appropriate. We'll oppose them or push them when we think more needs to be done. And, you know, ultimately, agencies serve at the pleasure of a governor, and agency chiefs do. So politics are always involved in decisions of any state agency. Mm-hmm. But as an independent organization, our mission is to advance sustainable outcomes to address our greatest conservation challenges.
Let's bring on Barbara in Montello. Barbara, hi. What would you like to ask?
Well, I think that organic farmers capture carbon, which helps with climate change. And I think that we should have a program, some grants or whatever, for people that are growing organically, that would, because they're capturing carbon, it could be based on that, and that they shouldn't have to be paying money, be certified organic. And I think that would encourage more farmers to grow organically, and they'd be able to sell the organic food cheaper.
Barbara, thank you for that. So what do you make of the support systems around furthering certified organic farms in Wisconsin, Fred?
Well, organic farms are an important piece of the overall agricultural picture and bring a lot of benefits. I think something that we recognize, as do farm producers, is that agriculture can be an important piece of the picture in offsetting greenhouse gas emissions. Ultimately, it needs to go beyond organic, however. So if you look at regenerative farming practices, the kind of practices that keep more cover on the land throughout the year, that are increasing soil carbon through things like cover crops and crop rotations that ultimately store more organic matter, those are really important practices that can occur in an organic system or a traditional agricultural system, or I should say a conventional system. But those are all important practices that now we're seeing markets actually for what's called carbon offsets, where organizations are actually willing to pay farmers who can increase their carbon storage in their farm operations. So we're just beginning to see private markets that are going to be driving investments in farm conservation over and above what we've seen previously. And we think that's going to be really important.
Fred Clark is executive director of the conservation group Wisconsin's Green Fire, promoting science-based practices, a long-term vision in environmental protection and natural resources management. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hey, thanks to Jim in Winnebago County for reaching out, suggesting this program with Wisconsin's Green Fire. If you have an idea for a morning show program, you can always visit our program page, fill out our web form, visit WPR.org/mornings. Fred Clark is executive director of the advocacy group Wisconsin's Green Fire. It's based in Rhinelander. Join the conversation calling in with your question, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jen in Southeast Minnesota. Hi, Jen. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Morning, Jen.
Good morning. So my question/statement is, we have a lot of existing conservation incentives for private landowners, particularly in the ag sector. And there's been a lot of public investments into these. We've seen continued degradation of our groundwater and surface water resources, soil resources. These conservation efforts are voluntary programs. What's going to be done differently for the climate and the well-being? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Jen, thank you. And I think she wants to really stress these are voluntary programs. And how can they move the needle? How can they have more teeth?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Great question. And this is a longstanding issue that we're understanding better and better. But ultimately, the existing programs that we have to support conservation, especially in intense agricultural areas, we're not realizing the goals that we have for those programs. And in fact, we have some profound water quality challenges in this state, including nitrate contamination. That's not everywhere, but is commonly a problem in areas where we have input from either private septic systems and or agriculture that are creating threats and health hazards for residents, especially residents who are drinking from private wells. So this current system's not working. I think it's not working well enough. I think that's a fair assessment. One of the programs that we're actually launching this year is to look closely at the existing agricultural incentive system and see how we can pivot that in order to steer funding to actual improvement in environmental outputs and not just paying for seed to go on the ground or paying for any other practices that might last for a year or two and then not be maintained. So our program is going to be looking at farm sustainability incentives and how we can actually measure environmental improvements such as reduced phosphorus or reduced sediment or reduced nitrates in agricultural systems and drive incentive payments to improved outcomes specifically for the environment. So that's work that we'll be doing together with Clean Wisconsin and many other partners because it's an important issue. And I think your caller is correct. We still have a long way to go to protect the quality of our water, especially in agriculture.
How would you assess so far? What do you make of the DNR's response to date to test and find toxic PFAS chemicals in water supplies across the state?
Well, this is another critical issue, the PFAS contamination, that we're very focused on as an organization. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is a lead agency on this issue. I think we believe they have done the best that is possible for them to do with their existing resources. But what we're seeing right now is just an explosion almost of understanding and detection of PFAS contamination, especially in municipal water supplies. We are only now beginning to understand the scope of that problem because it was only last year that we finally passed a rule around drinking water standards for PFAS that are now requiring municipalities to test their systems. But based on our own work in assessing the scope of PFAS detections around the state, you know, we've estimated that for the 18 or so municipalities that have exceeded PFAS health recommendations, we're going to see a bill of at least $200 million or more for those communities to effectively address that contamination.
And so state lawmakers approving $125 million in funds over the summer to address PFAS in water. How would you like that money to be used?
Well, most of that money needs to go to communities to allow them to make the investments needed to address those issues, whether it's putting in treatment systems, whether it's changing their well makeup to take contaminated wells offline. But these are major capital investments that many communities, large and small, need to make that they don't have the resources for right now. So the use of those funds is critical. It's important that the legislature appropriated that money. What we need now is legislation that actually allows that money to be spent with the right set of rules. And the Republican-led legislature is going to need to come to terms with the Evers administration in a piece of legislation that will enable use of those funds effectively.
Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire, Fred Clark, with us as we look at environmental priorities for this advocacy organization. And you can join in it with your question, comments, 800-642-1234. In July, Wisconsin's Green Fire released this assessment of the DNR's goal of capping the gray wolf population in Wisconsin. The number used to be at around 350. And you say that number is outdated. Why is that?
Yeah, so the number of 350 as a management goal for wolves was established in the 1999 Wolf Management Plan, which was the last formal plan the DNR approved for wolves in this state. In 1999, we had about 200 wolves on the landscape in Wisconsin. Today, we have somewhere between 1,000 and 1,100. And the 350 number that was in that now 24-year-old plan was, number one, it was not intended to be a cap on the population. It was a number at which a broader set of management practices, including legal hunting, would be employed. But that number was also developed at a time when our understanding of wolves and the carrying capacity for wolves in this state was very different than it is today. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot in 24 years. The wolf recovery in this state has been remarkable, but it's also stabilized. So what we found in the last 3 to 4 years is that the population of wolves, which grew dramatically over about a 20-year period, is now hovering at somewhere between 900 and 1,100 animals. And we believe that that is becoming a stable population because the wolves are highly territorial. They've occupied most of their favorable habitat in the state right now. And we believe that management can maintain numbers in that range while still addressing some of the challenges that we have with livestock and other issues that wolves sometimes cause, especially around human developments.
On the landscape. Fred, thank you for joining us.
It's been great to be with you, Kate. We touched on a number of issues.
Indeed we did. Yes. Fred Clark is Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire. It's a conservation organization based in Rhinelander. And for disclosure, Wisconsin's Green Fire is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.